Welcome, everybody, to the Chinchilla Pickin' Podcast. It is April the 7th, 2024, 3:31 p.m. As always, we hope to be entertaining, educational, and uplifting because we want everyone to make money. My name is David Underwood, and I'm joined by the one and only Baron of Bonds, Brandon Beaver. Brandon, how are you one day before the solar eclipse, man? How are you feeling?
I don't care about the solar eclipse. What I care about right now, day two of WrestleMania starts in an hour and a half, which is why we're doing this show a little bit earlier. Not that anybody's going to notice because it's going to post at the same time anyways, but.
Right. Got to get your WrestleMania in. I got to get ready for my solar eclipse. Fun times, right? They say you know, all kinds of things are going to happen.
Yeah. So I will say this. So one thing that I'm happy about is my job said, hey, everybody's working from home tomorrow. So. Because of the solar eclipse, they don't want us getting stuck on the highways because, you know, idiots exist. And I think the last time that we were on during the solar eclipse, highways got congested and massive traffic jams, people getting stuck out there for like 3 hours. So
I think that's a funny quote on StockTwits you just said, you know, because like idiots exist.
Yeah.
It's a little harsh, but yes, I get your point. I get your point. Oh, man. Yeah, there is going to be congestion because we live in a part of Ohio that you just got to go an hour up the road and you're in the middle. Well, less than an hour, really, 45 minutes up the road and you're in the middle of it. So it's really close to us. We are going to see more traffic for us. Not everybody in the country or the world is even going to. Most people in the world, solar eclipse are like, what is America getting all big and rowdy about? You know, like we got nothing. So they're just kind of like, you guys are stupid. But
and then Alaska, Alaska's like darkness during the day. We get that 3 months out of every year.
Right. You guys get light. You know, so it's very America being America centric here with this whole thing. But it's kind of cool. Something fun to do tomorrow if you're in it. But hey, you didn't come here to listen to us talk about solar eclipse. You came to listen to us talk about financial investment, geopolitical risk versus investments in stock markets, and how it all ties together and how you make money from it, right? That's why you're listening. So rules. Brandon and I get together 5 to 10 minutes before the show, and we tell each other what we're going to talk about. You hear the live back and forth, the bicker and the banter right here live for you. And as always, we're going to let the Beaver, Brandon, the Baron, if you will. Baron, if you want to take it off and lead away.
1 second. I want to look something up real quick. So I've been using Bing's Copilot, which has just been absolutely incredible. So right now, I want to see if it's going to know how much money and productivity the solar eclipse is going to cost the United States tomorrow. Let me see if it can tell me.
Well, Bing's Copilot is probably better than Boeing's Copilot.
Did I say Boeing?
No, you said Bing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well.
Yeah, yeah. We can just, yeah, yeah. Right,
so how much money and productivity will the solar eclipse cost the United States? Let's see. I want to see if it tells me.
Well, I mean, everybody's going to take like a break from work and go outside in those parts of the country, or people are taking off and going there for it, you know. I don't understand like people in our neck of the woods who are taking off work, because I'm like, just take a break at that time and go outside because you got a good shot.
$694 million.
Woo!
Yeah. I'm telling you, this Bing's Copilot is crazy, and Google needs to get caught up because we're not going to be Googling stuff here in the next couple of years. If they don't, we're going to be Binging it.
Bing it. Bam! Bing it.
All right. So what I wanted to get into, I got a couple of things here for today. As we all know, the cost of cocoa has more than tripled over the past 12 months. Well, if you don't know it, now you do. Cocoa is actually now more expensive than copper, which is wild.
Are we going to have thieves jumping in to steal chocolate now?
Well, you know what? The price of commodities are, and they shouldn't be, they should be more stable, but they're oftentimes commodities, especially things like cocoa and, you know, if it's not gold, whatever. They're pretty volatile at times, and they tend to overshoot up and they tend to overshoot down. And I think this is an overshoot on the upside. And one of the companies that this has hurt the worst has been Hershey's, which has dropped 23% over the past 12 months. Barron's, I was looking at an article from Barron's calling Hershey's a buy, saying that, you know, the next 6 to 12 months is going to still be pretty tough for them, but they're saying start buying into it right now. Anyways, despite the increase of the price of cocoa, which by the way represents one fifth of Hershey's cost of goods, sales have grown by just over 7% in 2023 to $11.2 billion. They expect revenue to grow by 2.5% this year, which is kind of the midpoint of its guidance range. Business here in the United States has been kind of, it's been fairly strong. They saw a mild decline in the number of confectionery items sold, even while raising prices on chocolate, and the salty snack volumes have grown. So not terrible compared to what's happening to their stock, down 23%. Hershey's not often this cheap. It's at $193 or in that range, trading at about 20 times 12-month earnings. This is well below the 5-year average of 23.6 times earnings. And the only time that this has been cheaper, according to Barron's, during the past 20 years has been during market dislocations like 2009, 2018, and the COVID drop of 2020. Hershey's high quality and predictability of earnings, this also typically means that it trades at a premium to the S&P 500 and other staples. I'm not sure how much this means right now, given that the market's been on a tear for the last 12 to 24 months, but it's now trading at a discount to consumer staples and to the S&P 500. Dividends are also still increasing. They produce over $1 billion in annual free cash flow. It bought back $25 million worth of shares in the fourth quarter. Still has $370 million remaining in share repurchase authorizations. And continuing to grow the dividend, it's increased 48 consecutive years. Pretty awesome. Now yielding 2.8%. You know what? I decided to go back to the basics here. I do this on my own on every stock that I buy, but wanted to go back to that chinchillapicking.com article that we always talk about, how to grade a stock. So I went through it. Hershey's gets a passing grade for me. There's a few highlights and lowlights here, but gross margin, and remember, gross margins, we're looking at above 40%. Gross margin still, even with the price of cocoa skyrocketing, 44.76%. Return on equity, we're looking for above 15% here to pass on this. 48.94% is the return on equity. Return on assets, we're at 15%, and for that, we'd look for above 5% on the return on assets. Net working capital, which is in the chinchillapicking.com article also, this is current assets minus total current liability. We want this to be a positive number. This is slightly negative. So total current assets, $2.91 billion. Total current liabilities, $3 billion. So what you're looking at with this, with normal, with oftentimes companies, if this is negative, there could be a possibility of them having trouble paying down debt that is maturing within 1 year. With Hershey's brand equity and the amount of sales that they do have, I don't see this as being a problem. But, you know, it is something to keep an eye on. So we'll go one step further. Let's look at long-term debt here. Do they have enough net income to pay off long-term debt within 4 years? Net income's $1.86 billion. Long-term debt's $3.78 billion. So they have no problem with long-term debt. Just kind of looking at that short-term debt, if the price of cocoa comes down within the next 12 months, that's going to even out a little bit because they're going to be able to decrease prices, increase sales, all of that good stuff. I'm not too concerned about it. What do you have to say about this, Dave? You got any opinions on Hershey?
Hershey is going to suffer from shrinkflation. They bet big on the Easter sales, and I haven't seen the numbers yet come back from how well they did on the Easter sales. But shrinkflation is a real thing, and that's the way that they're going to stay profitable and keep bringing in that money. Yes, they have a good system, but cocoa prices, it depends on how long they stay high. Is this just a 1 year spike? Can the growers actually continue to grow, or is that land like, are they only going to continue with half 50% of where they had before? Like, there's too many things I don't know. that I would want answers to before I would give a solid buy recommendation. I know some analyst firms I was reading have come out and given a price target, but they've lowered it to about 200, 195, or some price targets I was reading just now. So I mean that they're lowering it, but it makes me think that they own it and they're lowering their price target, and they lower it and they're going to continue to lower it until we see some turnaround at Hershey. Now, I know that they came out, I was reading an article just now, they said that again, I'm going to go back to shrinkflation. That's the way they're going to move forward with these higher cocoa prices. So will consumers buy? That's the question. Because instead of a 12-ounce chocolate bar, I'm just throwing that number out there, you're going to get an 8-ounce chocolate bar for the same price. Are people going to buy, or are they just going to get upset?
Well, you know what? I tell you what, they've got a large presence in dollar stores. So your Family Dollars, your Dollar Trees, all of that stuff, where a lot of consumers are shopping right now because of inflation. So it's kind of a competitive advantage to have that kind of presence in those particular stores right now. I will be interested in seeing what Easter sales bring for them. The margin at 44% is pretty good. I really should have done some more digging for this and looked at net margin. In fact, let's do that right now. Let's use Microsoft's Copilot because I'm telling you, it's going to tell me right away where we're at
Mean,
here.
can it tell us what stocks to buy for this next week? I mean, can it give me some good advice? How are we gonna how is it gonna move market so I can buy ahead of time?
So
That's what I want.
it doesn't give you stock advice, but I mean all this stuff that you can easily look up right now that you would usually have to pull off of Yahoo Finance, or
Ooh, Yahoo
Investor's
Finance.
Daily, or doing your equations on your own. This is crazy. So 16.67%. Dave, why are we getting hit hard here? I mean, most places are looking at 10% and saying 10% net margin is incredible. 16.67% net margin for Hershey right now. Given the
Is that
fact,
no? Is that number based off last year's sales? Because with cocoa going higher, that net margin is going to go down.
yeah, but it is. But here's the thing, in that most of that gains for cocoa came in the last 12 months. So a lot of that price increase on cocoa came last year. You've got a large decline here to go before Ness or before Hershey's even gets below 10% right now. A large
So are you
percentage.
buying?
I think it's a buy. I think you could start buying right now, and you know what? If you get more pressure in the future, you just start backing the truck up and buying more.
All right. I'm not sold. But I'm not saying it's gonna go down either. I'm not a bull or a bear on this one. I'm neutral. I have a neutral rating. I'm just holding off, man. I don't know. Too
Well,
many
I can
things I
tell
don't
you right
know.
now that if those cocoa prices start decreasing sooner
Yeah,
than everybody expects, the stock's going to go back up pretty quickly.
it will. It will go right back up.
Okay. So, with that being said, Dave, here's a company that you've been talking about, Novo Nordisk. And I was once a skeptic on just because it's a weight loss drug. I am no longer a skeptic here. And this is why. So, a new study on Wegovy, their most popular drug, has stated that people with obesity-related heart failure and diabetes, they get substantial heart health benefits from this obesity drug, Wegovy, even if they don't shed a lot of weight. And this is according to new research. Patients with a common type of heart failure and type 2 diabetes who took Novo Nordisk Wegovy for 1 year saw major improvements in their heart failure-related symptoms and physical limitations. The findings clearly suggest that while weight loss may be an important factor behind Wegovy's heart failure benefits, it's very likely that the mechanisms beyond weight loss are also playing a significant role. And this is from a doctor at St. Luke's. He's a cardiologist at St. Luke's Mid-America Heart Institute. And he's the lead author of this study. And this is from MarketWatch, by the way. This is an interview that was done by MarketWatch.
I like MarkWatch. I use them.
Semaglutide, which I'm probably butchering, this is an
Yes, you
active,
are.
it's the active ingredient in Wegovy, has a direct effect on heart congestion to significantly reduce inflammation, also, they said. So in the fourth quarter of 2023, Novo Nordisk reported earnings of 71 cents per share, or ADR, because this is an ADR. That was beyond the SAC's consistent estimates of 66 cents a share, representing a substantial increase from the year ago quarter. We all know about the increase in revenue and the increase that has happened here. Earnings, this is 37% increase, and a 43% increase at constant exchange rate. So we're looking at a 37% increase if you're looking at the Danish kroner, that's their currency, 43% at a constant exchange rate compared to the previous year. So also, these revenues exceeded the ZAC's consistent estimate of $9.14 billion. Growth was primarily driven by higher sales in diabetes and obesity. I think that's obvious. I think we knew Wegovy and Ozempic are leading the charge here. Looking at the full year 2023, Novo Nordisk's annual earnings per share stood at $2.70, reflecting a remarkable 56.3% increase from 2022. Earnings per share for 2022 was $1.73. That was a 4.85 increase over the previous year. Just absolute robust performance here. So let's run some equations here on this as well. And this is one thing that I do. I am looking at that net working capital again. Positive NWC, or net working capital, as we spoke about with Hershey's. We want this to be above zero. Total current assets for Novo Nordisk, $20.27 billion. Total current liabilities for 2023, $24.634 billion. So once again, we're in the negative range here. My concern with this is that Wegovy and Ozempic can make this company a one-trick pony. But I do want to say the earliest date for generic entry will be December 5th, 2031. So, Dave, you got something to say here? I just want to say real quick, what I'm trying to tell you is that when generics hit the market, by the time generics hit the market here, I think this company needs to have something else at least in the works that are going to take over for growth to continue. Go ahead.
So you saw the increase in spending, and that's due to expansion. Yes, I talked about they're building one manufacturing center with cash, but they are taking loans out to continue expansion in other areas and other research and development. That's why you have these new clinical trials coming out. That costs money. So that money, so they saw the worth of the drug. They have to, like you said, they got till 2031. They want to get as much out of it as possible. They have to spend money in order to produce as much as the demand is out there. Right now, they can't keep up with demand. I've covered this many times. I've given the numbers many times. They have to build these manufacturing plants that costs not, a couple mil. That costs, a couple billion in order to build these plants, or more, if that. And that's where you saw that increase. And you said it's 24 billion versus 22 in cash,
So it's $20.277 billion total current assets, total current liabilities. We're looking at $24.63 billion.
You got the negative number because they are now put moving forward with expansion.
Okay.
So I see that as a positive. Like I said, debt, some debt is bad, some debt is good. This debt is the growth kind, it's good. I see the payoff in the end after it's done.
So when we're looking at current assets, that's within 1 year. Long term, I'm sorry, current liabilities within 1 year. That's due with one in 1 year. Total long term liabilities, that's after a year. But this is one gonna kind of lead me to my next point. So what you were just talking about here is exactly why, when you're looking at these numbers, you do want to do the research as to why the numbers are what they are. If they're exponentially positive and continuing to grow in the right direction, that's a great thing. But if you want to look at something and say, for example, we had a really good number here, right? But there was a one-time sale that brought in revenue for one time, right? You kind of want to take that into effect. Maybe the company's not as good as it looks. Now, if you've got situation, right, like what Dave was just talking about, where they're investing the money building new factories, looking for more growth, the number is going to look worse than what it should be. And that's where research comes into play. So what Dave just said is exactly why you have a negative number here, and it's why I'm not really too concerned about this either. So when you're looking at the chinchillapicking.com article, if you're passing on 80% of the numbers there, that's a really good thing. But the things that come in negative like this, that just involves more research. That means those are things that you should keep in mind. Those are things that you should look for, and you should research yourself and try to figure out why they're negative. It's not always going to be a reason to sell the stock or to not buy it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the premise and the point. And you know, talking about research and doing your homework here, 100%. And in regards to Novo Nordisk, like I've given the numbers on previous. I could find them if someone DMs us and asks me for the numbers. But as far as the numbers here, like I said, they cannot even keep up with majority of demand of this product. They don't have enough product to sell.
Yeah.
It's that in high demand that if they had more product, their revenue would be way higher. They just don't have it to sell.
Right. And also another highlight I wanted to discuss here, gross margin for Novo Nordisk, an unbelievable 84.6%.
Right. Yeah. This is why I own it. I'm an owner of it. I'm a big owner of it. I'm not going to say how much I own, but it's a big amount. And that's how much I believed in the company. And I'm up around 30% right now. So I'm very happy with my return so far.
You haven't even held it for that long. What's it been, 3, 6 months, something like that?
Actually, it's been a while. I bought it back in December.
Okay, so
I
that's
believe it was
5 months,
December and November. So
but
yeah.
for 30%, that's not that long, really. I mean, a lot of people are looking at 30% for 1 year if they hold the best stocks.
Yeah, and I invested heavy, so I'm overweight by a lot on Novo
Okay. I'm
Nordisk.
overweight right now on Meta, but to be honest with you, it wasn't really on purpose. It's just by how high that stock has gone in the past 12 months. It's put me significantly overweight in it.
Right.
I will be possibly looking at trimming Google if I don't see any positive news. Hey guys, get this Bard thing up and running because my
Whoa.
Bing is gonna push you out.
Hold on. I didn't even know we were gonna bash Google here because I completely disagree with you. I would buy it right
That's
now.
fine to bash it, but go use Bing's search engine, then go use Google. Google's search engine right now is archaic compared to Bing.
Wow. Yeah, Google has some problems, like the Gemini AI. They have some problems rolling out their AI. But Google, still their main core business is a cash cow, pumping out all kinds of cash for the company to continue to grow. Their cloud business took a hit recently in the last quarter, yes. And nobody has really seen profits from AI except for the chip makers. So we still got some room for them to get this right and get it fixed and get it back out there. And I would disagree with you. I would say, if anything, if someone's asking my personal opinion, if I would buy Google right now, I have no intention to buy it, first of all, and I don't own it. If someone were to ask me if I would buy it, I would say yes.
I bought it at $92 a share. I'm up somewhere around 60%. So I'm
Right?
happy
So you have a good
with
return.
that buy.
So you're talking about trimming some profit and using that somewhere else.
Yeah, but here's the thing, like if they don't catch up with Bing, people are going to start moving over to Bing and that ad revenue is going to follow with it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All
That's
right,
all
man.
I
What
got.
else you got?
That's all I got. I've got a final thought for you finally. Actually, you know what? I do want to talk about this because you made me bring it up. So I screenshotted a stock twit. So, you know, silly
That's
things.
what I was going to ask you to read, is your stock twit.
I don't even remember what we called this segment before. Like, was it?
Funny things or interesting things read on stock
Well,
twits.
it wasn't interesting. I think it was stupid because most of it's
Oh,
dumb.
yeah. Yeah.
So let me pull up the screenshot here real quick. I know I said I wasn't going to talk about Boeing anymore, but they make it so hard, Dave. They make it so hard, and
I know they had another incident, right?
Yeah, so another incident, a piece of a engine falling off of a Southwestern Airlines plane, reported today. Thankfully, nobody was hurt or killed or anything. They just had to make a, safe emergency landing. But I just screenshotted this on StockTwits because everybody's posting on StockTwits. A few people are posting about that, saying, "Oh, it's probably not Boeing's fault, blah, blah, blah. It's probably the airline's fault." But you know how many times we've been through this with Boeing where we have to ask that question over the past, I don't know, what, 5 years? I mean, really, like since the Air Max accident, how many times have we had to sit here and wait? Oh, are we going to find out if it's Boeing, or are we going to find out it's the airline? And most of the time, it's been Boeing's fault. So when I see a tweet like this and I see $300 on Boeing by the end of the year, or somebody saying $200 by the end of the week because a new CEO is coming in, they're looking for acquisitions and all that stuff. Look, I think it's great that the Boeing CEO is stepping down because they need a radical culture change at Boeing. But it takes a very long time to change the culture of a company that's become cancerous. A very long time. And a new CEO that steps in, he's going to have a very tough time doing it and a long road ahead of him. This is not a reason to buy Boeing right now because you have to wait for that culture to change. Are we getting a new board of directors? Are we firing all senior management right now? I don't know if every one of them should be fired. There's probably some good people there, but a radical culture change has to be made at Boeing, and we're not going to see that much improvement here with this company until that happens. So you're looking for, somebody like a Larry Culp to step in like he did at General Electric and change the culture at General Electric. He did it pretty quickly. But people like Larry Culp are very rare. So Boeing better hope that their next guy that they get is absolutely incredible, in top notch, top tier guy. Incredibly ethical, because investors aren't going to want to sit here and read from a trade magazine that an airline or an airplane produced by Boeing is having troubles, because that's what happened when I bought the stock, wound up being a big mistake. Woke up one morning, a trade magazine told me there was another issue with the Dreamliner. It wasn't the company that told me that, it was the Dreamliner. So it's not just quality manufacturing that needs to change and be brought to Boeing. It's ethics. Your thoughts, Dave?
I was waiting for you to get off your soapbox there for a moment. Yes,
But somebody, we have to be on a soapbox a box about this. We have to get preachy because, I mean, this is a duopoly in the airlines. People's lives are at risk here.
I know. I agree with what you're saying, and the duopoly is the problem. There needs to be more competition, because without competition, there's no need to innovate and actually do something well, because who else are you going to go to? There's a big problem at Boeing. There is. And they I but who wants to take on that job? If you hire someone from like Larry Culp, what's he going to charge, man? He's going to charge him a lot of money, because he knows he's walking into a mess.
Worth it.
Right? True. But like, there you go. I mean, I don't know. I want to move past Boeing. They have a lot of issues. I would still negative the stock, short the stock. I don't see it going anywhere. Not
Well,
anytime soon.
it will not be a duopoly for long if the problems continue.
Yeah, it'll be a monopoly.
Yeah.
Airbus. There you go. All right. So I got some stock tweets too. Fun things we read off stock tweets. Interesting things, I guess, whatever you want to call it.
Well, hold on, real quick. You just said monopoly. So what I wanted, what I was trying to get to here is actually a triopoly, because I mean, I don't think Boeing's going to go out of business. I don't think it's going to go to zero. Could, but I think somebody's going to step up and take the. I mean, I know there's a high cost of doing business here, but somebody's going to have to step up and take the demand.
The private jets that you see on NetJets or Wheels Up, all those type of services are not made by Boeing or Airbus. There are companies out there that do this, but they just don't do it on the big commercial liner level.
All
So,
right, I'm good now.
all right. All right. On NVIDIA on StockTwits, I read this. This is what that one person said. And well, their tagline, first of all, is NVIDIA 5,000 per share. Nice tagline. It says, I'll pay 100 NVIDIA shares to never be terrified to fly again. This is crippling worst fear. Even the gains here can't ease that. So he's talking about the he was responding to a Bowen news clip there. What somebody on the Tesla this was actually yeah no yeah this was in the Tesla chat. They said Tesla AI is a fanboy sitting in a Tesla, and then it's called a robotaxi. Playing on the fact that all Teslas can now be robotaxis come August 8th. So if you own a Tesla, you can make it a robotaxi. And then the crypto boys always give me good laughs, always have something to say on the Shiba Inu stock tweets. He was responding to Shiba Inu's latest move higher at that time. He said, if you or move down, and his response was, no risk, no Lambo. Kind of like that one too. So fun things to read on StockTwits. It's always good, interesting. We got our buddy, he's been on the show, Nick Young, just joined, signed up for StockTwits, and he's been enjoying some of the news on there as well. If you are on StockTwits, follow us, Chinchilla Pickin. Brandon has our handle there, and he
You
gets
know
on
what?
there.
I know it's a joke, but there are some people that actually do this kind of thing. If you are of average income or below, and you are trying to buy a Lambo off of one trade, if there was a way for me to short your entire portfolio down to zero, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I know what. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yes, you can't turn. It's impossible to do 1,000 into 1,000,000 in just a few months. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. It's improbable.
Yeah,
You would have
very
to be
much so.
very. You would have to have a day trading account and be very, very, very good at what you do. And there's very few day traders that could do that.
Well,
So,
beyond that, extremely lucky.
yeah. All right, moving on. Back to real news here in here. I got lots of news on oil. Let's talk about some things that have happened recently. So number one, first one I'm going to bring up is one dead, two seriously injured after a fire hit Pemex oil platform in Mexico. This is the Gulf of Mexico. This came out in the newswire today at 1:35 p.m. You can find it on the Reuters newswire service. So unfortunately, some contractor died after a fire started on offshore platform. They were eventually able to get the fire under control. So this is not another Deepwater Horizon. They got it under control. Everything is fine. They were able to shut down the oil so that no oil was being blown all over the Gulf. That would have been a whole nother story. It went on. To say that the Pemex infrastructure across Mexico has for years suffered frequent deadly accidents, which analysts often blame on poor maintenance and other operational deficiencies. The ACAL-B platform is part of Pemex aging but still significant Cantrell complex of shallow water wells. They produce some 200,000 barrels per day of crude oil. And 2 decades ago was one of the world's top producing fields with over 2 million barrels per day of output. Pemex Oil did say that oil and gas production from the complex is now will be up and running, and the company has continued to investigate the cause of the incidents. So that's a scary thing that happened over there in the Gulf of Mexico regarding oil, right? That alone you think would maybe move the cost of oil a little bit higher. That's not the only thing. Here's another article. I have a number of articles here, all about oil, all given a different, well, not
So,
different, good view. Go ahead.
what you're saying, the previous company is the Boeing of oil.
Right. Yes. So on April 5th, Reuters had another article that came out and said oil prices climbed more than $1 per barrel on supply risk. This was April 5th at 3:16 p.m. Written by Irwin Seba or Seba. I don't know. Anyways, price oil was going up that day. Everybody is worried about the price of oil. So I'm going to quote from the article here. So Brent and West Texas are set to notch more than 4% gains this week after Iran, the third largest OPEC producer, vowed revenge against Israel for an attack that killed high-ranking Iranian military personnel. This is a quote from Phil Flynn, an analyst at Price Futures Group. He said, "If Iran directly attacks Israel, that's never happened before. It's just another geopolitical risk domino about to fall." There's been some tension here since Iran blamed Israel for an attack on an embassy compound in Syria. You couple this with the ongoing Ukrainian drone attacks on refineries in Russia that have disrupted more than 15% of Russian capacity hitting the country's fuel output. So that's definitely a major issue. And then OPEC Plus has kept its oil supply policy unchanged after they have made drastic cuts at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. So they're seeing unchanged. They're not going to go ahead and pump out more. The problem with this is the U.S. economy continues to grow. They added 303,000 jobs last month. That means we're going to continue to have a desire for oil. Boeing is actually, because people are now becoming fearful of flying, it's actually slowing down that, and we have fewer planes. That's actually going to help with our oil problem that we're starting to have. Let me go on and read more about this article here. I'm going to quote again from the article. It says, "Global oil demand is expected to grow by 1.4 million barrels per day in the first quarter." That's from a JP Morgan analyst. U.S. energy firms this week cut the number of oil and natural gas rigs operating for a third week in a row for the first time since October. The oil gas rig count, an early indicator of future output, fell by one, just to 620. That's actually a good number to be at. That's not the lowest we've had. That's not the highest we've had. It's right there in the middle. That was the lowest since early February, though, and so that's what brought some concerns there. So I mean, there's that. That's some news, right? You couple all those together, you go with Exxon. Exxon is saying that due to prices, the crude prices dropping at the beginning of half the year, they dropped their revenue of how much oil they how much their top line revenue. By a little bit, saying once they report the first quarter numbers, it's going to be a little lower. So they're giving guidance on their first quarter earnings that they haven't reported yet, saying it might be a little bit lower because of the cost. I look at all these things coming on and all the risk happening. I see oil cost a barrel moving higher, is what I see, and I see that and. I don't know if you buy oil companies based off that, because it depends on where their assets are. So if Exxon's assets are in Iran, then I would not buy Exxon. If Conoco's assets are in Iran, I would not buy Conoco because that's part of the that's going to be that's that has a possibility of being hurt or damaged. But if Exxon is mainly US based and just a few spots other places, then okay, but it's not. It is international. So you want to look at to where, Conoco, Exxon, Schlumberger, all these different companies, where are their assets? What's going on? Are they work, are there assets in Russia? Are there assets in Iran? Where it's at? But the cost of oil is going to go higher. Now, is that going to cause a recession, Brandon? Thoughts? If the cost of oil goes higher, do people start to not take as many flights or have to cut costs somewhere else in their life?
No, I don't think it's going to cause a recession. We've had oil spikes that have been higher, much higher than what we've expect or than what we've experienced so far, at least, and not had a recession.
But we've already tapped the
For right
strategic
now.
reserve. We've already tapped the strategic reserve, and as it gets lower, it's not in a good shape because we've already been tapping it. I mean, I look at that and I'm like, we don't have much more resources to throw at keeping the cost down on oil.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think there's going to be too many U.S. companies that have meaningful assets in Iran with all of the sanctions that are on Iran. So I don't know. I mean, we just had a great jobs number right now. I hate to reverse my position and say we're not going into a recession. I think it's definitely going to hurt us. But what was it, like 336,000 jobs created or something like that on Friday?
303, yeah, 303,000.
303,000. Okay. Pretty good jobs number there. And the market actually reacted positively to that, almost like they're still expecting rate cuts to come with a incredible job market, which isn't going to happen, by the way. But I mean, it's definitely going to cause market volatility. And it
Right.
all has. I mean, we had that last week. But yeah, I don't know about a recession. I want to know what it's going to do to the price per gallon of fuel
That's going to go higher. It's going to
and
go
the
higher.
whole heating costs.
Yeah. So,
But by
yeah.
how much? I mean, I think that's still the question.
Right. And so, you look at companies. So I'm going to look at ExxonMobil here real quick. Their option activity has been tremendous over the last few weeks. Last week it was even higher. There was a lot of option calls at $130 a share. So the price of these is going high. You see a complete difference in the strike price. When you look at a strike price of 115, they're asking like 5.8, 5.8. When you look at a strike price of 110, they're asking $16. So that's a huge jump in just a $5 difference. And then if you go all the way up to 130 strike price, you're looking at 68 cents. That's, I mean, I watch these options here and I wonder what's going on. Why are we having such big difference here? When you look at all the analysts, I read five different analysts. You have a range from 120 to 140 of price targets where they're headed with this.
Wow.
Exxon, I mean, if you go off the analysts, you could flip a coin here at this point
Yeah.
and see kind of where it's going. I think with the prices going up in crude, because it's going to go up, you might see a quick dip down in Exxon, but over the next month or two, it's going to go higher because they're going to make more money.
Yeah, and
The
you
rig
often
counts aren't low enough.
the funny thing is with these analysts, you often get these different ranges of pricing, and still with all the different ranges of pricing that's out there, rarely are any of them ever right.
Right. Yeah. It is crazy how that turns out. But I think Exxon is going to go higher. I would even though it's up 20% already this year, they've already given lower guidance on their first quarter earnings, so they're being upfront about that and getting ahead of it before they report, which I like. I like the transparency there, saying that, hey, we didn't hit our numbers. We haven't reported yet, but it's not going to be as good as we said. I like the transparency there, but I believe that Exxon is still going to go higher than where it's at currently. I have a personal price target of at least 135 on this, and maybe moving even higher after that, depending on geopolitical events.
And sentiment's already been high on energy companies.
Yes,
So,
I mean, yeah,
this is
Buffett's
natural.
already, yeah. So that's where we're looking at with that. That mean that's just my frame of mind. I look at all these different articles. I read all these different things. A lot going on. A lot going on. All right. So I have recently had a good conversation with someone who listens to the show, and we talked a little bit about Tesla, as one of many things. It's one I've gotten wrong. It's gone down. I get it wrong all the time, but it goes back up, and I eventually make a profit every single time, you know. But this last time I bought in, and I said I was buying in for a long term, holding it because of all the other things Tesla does, not just the cars. I like the robot aspect. The humanoid robot aspect of Tesla is awesome. Love what they're doing there. They still have the solar business, the charging business. They got majority of government contracts. It's Tesla is winning in all those areas, but the car business is hurting. So there's a Reuters news article that came out on Friday at 5:34 p.m. and the headline reads: "Exclusive: Tesla scraps low-cost car plans amid fierce Chinese EV competition." So in the article, you can read about what Tesla's plan was. They were going to have a Model 2 that was going to start around $25,000 for the car, and that was going to be their low-cost one. After news came out that they were scrapping it, they stock dropped more than 6%. off that news. It did bounce quickly back up by 3.6% back up because Musk posted on X saying Tesla Robotaxi unveiled on August 8th. Meaning if you have a Tesla vehicle, you might be able to use it as a robotaxi and make money with your Tesla vehicle. Very interesting that anybody out there could have a robotaxi, and there's all these robotaxis driving around. However, when you go to read in about the problem here with the Chinese competition, the Chinese car is coming out and they are producing the car and they are selling the car for $10,000.
Wow.
You know, I could buy the car, ship it on a shipping container, and get it to America for less than the cost of the Mach 2, which was $25,000, and that was the low end cost EV. I mean, I don't know many low end cheap cars that you could get in America for. I don't know any brand new vehicle that we can buy in America. Correct me if I'm wrong here. For $10,000. I don't think there's a single one.
No, not anymore.
Right? And
We used
so
to have some.
is this the Chinese government subsidy going in here, or is this the fact that what they pay their laborers, they have no unions, they have no pensions, they have no health care, and they're paying them pennies on the hour to build these? Is that what it is?
Which company is it that's doing the 10th? One of Charlie Munger's favorites was BYD, and I think that's the company that's given the most competition to Tesla in China, if I'm correct. I know there's also NIO, SAIC Motor, and a few others, but I think BYD is the biggest, isn't it?
BYD is definitely one of the biggest. NIO is everywhere, not just China. But yeah, I mean, it's all of them. All of them are being subsidized by the Chinese government. All of them are have the low cost of workers and pay for workers. So all of that goes into effect for it doesn't matter which one you pick.
Yeah.
But Tesla reported 8% year-over-year drop in deliveries on Tuesday, just after its chief Chinese competitor, BYD, reported a 13% gain. So BYD is definitely the biggest taker of market share from Tesla, and
Yeah.
that's really who's like you said, pushing the market here. The entry-level EV segment is already crowded with compelling models from BYD and many other Chinese brands. So, can you read this article? BYD is mentioned a number of times. And so, during the same period, BYD has seen electric vehicle sales soar in China from about 130,000 to more than 1.5 million, not including its thriving business in plug-in hybrids or fast-growing exports. So, it's the Seagull hatchback that they sell for less than $10,000, BYD. That's crazy that you could
Wild.
buy a car in China for less than $10,000.
I
I
wonder
mean,
if that has autopilot.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know. But I mean, that's what's really dragging down Tesla. I'm an investor in Tesla long term, because not just the cars, there's so many other benefits to the company, but I believe it's going to be down for longer. So I'm just giving that heads up to anybody else who's holding Tesla stock like I am, and we are currently down. It's going to be down for longer. And it's just, I think they'll start the low cost car up again eventually at some point, but you can't compete with low wages, no pensions, and government subsidies of that magnitude. You just can't compete.
I mean, I don't, what's it do to Ford's electric vehicle? I mean, not that they ever had a presence that was meaningful in China, anyways.
Ford said they scrapped. They scrapped most of it. They shut down plants.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Rivian bad sales. Lucid bad sales. Everywhere outside of China, nobody can compete. But can China duplicate? Can BYD duplicate that without having to just build the cars in China?
So is Ford not manufacturing the Raptor anymore? That was the kind of the F-150 of electric trucks.
Oh, the F-150 Lightning or
Yeah, no, there was
the
a Raptor too. There, it was like the most
oh.
expensive one.
I don't know. I know they scrapped the number of electric EV projects and they scaled down some others. It's just been a big mess. It doesn't look like we're going to hit the 2035 mark in the United States, in any state, for all electric cars because we can't get it.
Do you remember when this kind of all first started with the EVs, and all Ford had to do is come out and say we're working on an electric vehicle, and their stock would spike,
Yeah.
and then General Motors would do it, their stock would spike. Tesla was going wild, obviously. You just had to come out and mention electric vehicle, and then everybody thought that this market that did not quite exist yet was going to be so phenomenal that it was going to lift all tides. And it's just, hype. You have to watch for the hype.
Well, I mean, it's a lack of charging stations. There's no charging stations. I mean, we're in a not a major city. No, we're not in LA, New York, Chicago, or Houston, but we're in Cincinnati, right? It's a city.
I think we have one in Westchester.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple in Westchester, but we're in a city, and I don't see them everywhere. You have to look for them. You have to know where they're at, and that's a problem, and that's part of the big problem that people are seeing with electric cars is the charging stations. The infrastructure does not exist. It just doesn't. I mean, and if you are in, like, say, I don't know, let's say Britain, it's a lot easier to build infrastructure in Britain for the British people because it's a smaller country.
And then if you want to do one of those at-home charging stations, if you've got an older house like I do, you have to have an electrician come in and rewire your house to be able to pull that kind of power.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of headwinds to it. So the cars, people would love to buy the cars, but it's the charging stations, man. They're just not around. And then the mechanics are going to charge you an arm or leg too. So there you go. But yeah, that's my stint on Tesla and where we're at with that. But my cryptos did well, and then it moved back down. But I said that on the last podcast, since it's been 2 weeks, that cryptocurrencies would drop back down in the short term, but they would eventually bounce back by the end of the year because of the halving event. So I'm waiting for that to happen to see the move up. I see this as an opportunity to buy more.
I agree. I agree. I think Tesla's a good buy long term, and also both. If I was to go into a cryptocurrency, it would be Bitcoin.
There you go. Final thoughts, Brandon. I know you have some.
Earnings season starting up next week, which is wild to me because I feel like last earnings season was just not even that long ago. But earnings season's coming up. I still think the market's a little overvalued. We're in due for a correction. I think earnings season could be that catalyst. If you're looking at guidance from companies for upcoming earnings, 79 companies in the S&P 500 have come out with downbeat profit forecasts, kind of pulling back the strings on their profits there. This is the second highest since 2019, according to FactSet. 33 forecasts have been positive, but 79 negative. So I think we're kind of overshooting. We're shooting where we hope the duck might be, not shooting where the duck actually is. And I think we're going to get a market correction here in the next couple of weeks.
Market corrections aren't necessarily a bad thing overall. You always get one or two every year. And it's market corrections defined as a 10% drop in the overall broad market. And I think it's a buying opportunity in a lot of cases because not everything deserves to go down. So there's always those one or two diamonds in a rough there that went down and they actually deserved to be at the price they were at. So those are the ones you look for. You do your research, and you read the article on our website that gives you a good taste of that, how to value a stock, a company.
Yep, exactly. Chinchillapicking.com. I wrote it in 2021. My recommendations on there were to use Yahoo Finance and MSN Money. Now I recommend using Microsoft's Copilot. I will say this, I did get incorrect numbers on one search, and it was fairly obvious that it was incorrect. I was looking for the net income of Hershey's for 2023. The first time I searched, it said $0.000001 billion in revenue. And I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah.
I searched it again, it gave me the right numbers. So
Gotcha.
Just be on the lookout for that. But Microsoft Copilot's incredible help. You can use that to go through this checklist that's on chinchillapicking.com on how to grade a stock. Makes it so much easier.
Cool. I really don't have anything. Let's just look out. There's always IPOs every week. If you guys have any questions, reach out to us, DM us. Please go on StockTwits and follow Brandon and Chinchilla Picking as he posts lots of StockTwits, right, Brandon? Every
Not
single week.
recently. Not recently.
Whereas he gets in fights with other people, other trolls on there, talking stuff back and forth. Good times. So,
I
if
like
you
how you
had.
said I like how you said other trolls. Other.
Well, I mean, truth hurts, right?
Well, whatever. I'll own up to it.
As always, we hope we have been entertaining, educational, and uplifting because we want everyone to make money. Have a good night.
Have a good night.